Gone are the days when we come to church to get something or to just be blessed by something or to, you know, quite frankly, we need to move on from that. The church was never meant to be that anyway. It was meant to be an engaged family that was on mission. It was a family of soldiers with not only the attitude of being brothers and sisters and deeply committed to each other in the bonds of love in Christ, but we were also engaged in the greatest mission a human can ever know. And at times it's a dangerous mission. I'm not going to lie to you. People say to be in the will of God is the safest place. Eternally for your spirit, yes, but it's not always that way for your body. All of the first apostles, except we think maybe John, all died a martyr's death. Were they not in the will of God? Yes, they were. Jesus even spoke to Peter about the kind of death he would die that would glorify him. We don't have a four-part message on that in our website. How to die a glorious death. But the church is going to have to, globally, is going to have to start reteaching some things that are due to the that are actually to do with the realities of being a follower of Jesus. And it's not about consumerism. It's not about just getting the services from the church. I don't even like calling these services anymore. Because to me, it creates a wrong idea that you come to get a service. No, we come together because we're a family, and the family is growing, and the family is building, and the family is welcoming new people, more people, freshly saved, whatever the case may be. And the family is being trained and equipped to be soldiers, and we're engaged in a war. And the war is intensifying. It's an atmospheric war. It's a philosophical war. It's all that sort of stuff, but the war is intensifying. But we're not taking up the weapons of this world, which are carnal. We are taking up the weapons of the Spirit, which are eternal and powerful. We're not getting engaged in the flesh and become a bunch of little angry, offended arguers on the internet. They're just offended people waiting to manifest. We take up our spiritual weapons. My spiritual weapons are prayer, all kinds of prayer, fasting, declaring the word, meditating in the word, loving people, exercising and living in the and expressing the fruit of the Spirit, moving and growing in the exercising and the ministering in the gifts of the Spirit. And above all of those things, we put on love and we love people. We're not here to generate hate. We're here to generate and provoke unto love. I've signed the petition regarding some of these hate speech proposals because I think they're diabolical. But here's the deal. We're still not here to promote hate. But people might try and take what we say and say that it's hate. But that's not our intent. Our intent is to reveal the love of God for people. And if that means that we encourage them to repent, that's not hate, that's love. So, arise and pray. I'm just really looking forward to it. And I want to also just express appreciation for the existing prayer gatherings that are happening. And Sally and Wayne's prayer gathering on a Tuesday morning, you've been leading that for years and years, Sally and Wayne. I just so deeply appreciate. And Ken and Margaret sometimes lead when you guys are away and so on. And a number of people gather and have been praying consistently now for years. I want to say this, that is one of the engine rooms of the church. And I want to thank you. And a number of people have got some age stacked up now. So that means you've got experience and you've got wisdom and understanding and experience in God. And so you're bringing that together and praying in agreement. You're seeing some great things happen, and you've been a great support to us. So I want to thank you for your commitment to pray. I want to thank the people who gather. Noah's mentoring group midweek. It's by invitation. It's a mentoring group. And there's some very significant prayer happens in that group. And Janet can sometimes get to it, not always. And some very profound things happen through that group that you probably wouldn't know about. And same with Shelley and Wayne's group. And then there's the Sunday morning prayer here that Nawa leads. And I understand you're gathering from 7:30 on now. Is that right? 7:30 on. Every Sunday morning, there's a group of people gathering in that room and praying from 7:30 on through to 9:30 when we start the meeting. The presence of God becomes so rich in that room at times, and I totally understand the people don't want to come out. I totally get that. And quite frankly, if the leader of that meeting feels that you need to stay in there for some time, that's totally okay with me, because what you're going to be praying and doing is affecting this whole gathering. Okay? So don't get all funny on that one. And so some of us come here at 9:25. There's some people who have been praying for this gathering for 2 hours already. Getting up at 7:30 maybe, getting the nice stuff on. And getting down to pray here. I want to tell you, I want to just say thank you so much for those of you who are engaged in praying for us in that way. I know it certainly helps me. I mean, I get up at my little hour in the morning and I'm in the Word, because for me, the way I prepare usually is I'm contemplating. I'm in the Word. I'm just pondering things. I'm praying through the week and different thoughts come and different concepts come. And then the Sunday morning, early Sunday morning is when I get before the Lord and I bring it together. That's how it works for me. Scares Janet Whitless because her preparation mode is entirely different. But that's just how it works for me. That's why I generally won't get here until quarter past, 25 past, because I've come out of that place of preparation, and in my own heart, I don't want to necessarily engage with people who need to talk about a bunch of issues or a bunch of challenges or problems, because I want to stay focused on the Word, and I want to stay focused when I think the Holy Spirit's been percolating in me. So that's why I'll generally get here at that time. It's not because I've slept in. Okay, I'm telling you. I had one person make a sarcastic comment about me turning up at that time once. So I said, "You just don't know what you're talking about, because you don't know what I'm doing and how I'm preparing myself and the mode in which I work with the Holy Ghost." So that's how it is for me. And so there's people who are dedicated in prayer already, and I just want to say just thank you so much for your heart to the Lord. It's your heart to the Lord and His purposes mostly, but it's your heart and purposes also for Living Waters and the ministry here. I just want to express that appreciation to you. Thank you. I really mean that. Thank you so much. A number of us feeling the urgency to lift the level of corporate prayer. I've been blessed with the gatherings and the other smaller gatherings that happen as well, and prayer that happens in the connect groups and so on. I'm very appreciative of that, but it's time to lift it to another level now. We're living in urgent days, not only in terms of just what's happening, but the urgency of the lost being saved, because there is a harvest upon us. There are the level of prophetic, of the expectation of significant moves of God in our nation just keep increasing. The things that we're seeing and hearing God doing behind the scenes among Māori people, among Māori and Pākehā, among between tribes and Māori, all sorts of things going on in this nation is just simply phenomenal. And Janet and I are endeavouring to be part of that, and because of what we're hearing and what we're researching and the relationship God's connecting us into, and we believe there's something very significant in that whole arena afoot that's for the sake of the gospel for this nation and the nations. But it's time for us to really lift our prayer. Really lift our corporate prayer. One of the great privileges we have as sons and daughters, as people who are redeemed, we can come boldly to the throne of grace at any time to seek mercy in time of need. We have this incredible dimension that we'll look at in a while in the scriptures called the power of agreement. In the Spirit, power of agreement in the Spirit that can achieve and break open all sorts of things. And then we have, for those of us who are married couples in this place, and you're both in the Lord, I want to encourage you to take further steps of taking new territory, of venturing into praying with one another to another level. Some of us, we may not have ventured there yet because maybe we're just not too sure about what the other one will think of our prayer, and one of us is a bit self-conscious, and one of us tends to talk a lot and the other one hardly talks at all, and one of you has been in the Lord longer than the other, and you're not sure whether they're going to think your prayers are stupid or not. And I'm talking from experience, because that's how it was for Janet and I when we were first married. We would try and organize to pray together, but I was like a bull at a gate. Marching up and down. And Janet, and I'd be like, why aren't you praying? But Janet had a totally different style at that time. She would just focus in on the presence of God, just focus in, get a sense of what to pray, and then pray it. So for a while, we were misunderstanding each other. I didn't think Janet was really entering into prayer, and Janet thought I was just a bull at a gate and not really connecting with the Holy Ghost and hearing what he had to say. Words to that effect. And so we would pray together when there was something really significant to pray about or something really challenging, but most of the time we would pray on our own. And then I can be a bull at a gate. You know what I'm saying? And Janet can just hunker into the presence of God. But now I find I generally just like to focus in on just connecting in his presence now and just connecting in with him. And then there'll be times I'll go to the bull at a gate because I'm here to storm things. I'm here to declare things, decree things, bust things, you know. But it's not just all that. So one of the things that Janet and I have been really blessed in being able to establish more recently is just first thing in the morning, just having communion together, sharing communion together, and then praying and communion, and with the bread and the cup and praying for our family, praying for the church, praying for individual situations, we've just found the delight and the results of our agreement. Not only as a covenanted married couple, but as two fellow believers in Christ. And we're seeing some remarkable things. We really are. We're seeing some remarkable things. And things that are happening really quick. In some situations, just turning so quickly. I'm just so blessed by it. So I want to share partly about the power of agreement this morning and the blessing we have that is released, and the privilege we have of being able to come together and agree in prayer. Incredibly powerful. And so, before we go any further, we're going to give you an opportunity to give your tithe and offering to the Lord, and also just remember what you've done by bank transfer, and just hold that before the Lord, and we're going to pray together. So, Grant, if you could get ready to move those buckets around for anybody who has an offering here they want to give. Father, we want to thank you today for the power of the seed. Lord, your word says, as long as heaven and earth remains, seed time and harvest will continue. We know that our offerings are seed and our tithe is your portion. That is a sign of our commitment to you in the aligning of our lives to the heavenly economy. And so, Father, we want to thank you today for every household, every individual, every life, every family that's been faithful to you in giving. We want to thank you, Lord, for the opening of the windows of heaven, for the rebuking of the devourer, for pouring out blessing that is more than we're able to contain. I want to thank you for your grace. I just release your blessing on every family in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got a Bible with you, turn it to Matthew 21. But I just want to cover a few basic things in relation to prayer, because prayer can seem a bit of a mystery because, well, what does the word prayer mean? You know, we know that many different types of Christian groups have many traditions in prayer. We have the Roman Catholics tend to have what's called a rosary, and each one of those beads represents a prayer or a focus in prayer. And that's the tradition they've developed. And some people will work with that really well. Other people will almost start to think that the thing is magical. But it's fundamentally a reminder. And apparently the Pope every year issues a decree of what some particular beads are. When you hold that bead in your hand, you're praying for this particular thing. And so it's a reminder to pray. That's how they work it. Others have like what you'd call a liturgical prayer, which is all written out. And the Anglicans and one or few other groups have these liturgical things. In other words, you go to an Anglican service, and sometimes the service is done in a prearranged format where the vicar or the priest will say certain things and the people respond with a statement. And some of those things were developed through the years because it brought a consistency through their churches and so on. And people can discuss that, whether that's good, bad, or ugly. I don't have an opinion. All I know is that when people are engaged in faith and when people are engaged in revelation, something's going to happen. Regardless of the style, as long as it's not pagan, regardless of the style, the faith, the revelation, and the engagement in it is where the power is. I've heard Pentecostals sometimes pray, and it sounds horribly religious. I've heard people that have just prayed repetitive thing over and over and over again, a bit like the way some of the Hindus might do something, and you think that Jesus said, don't be like the pagans and just repeat things over and over and over again, thinking that the number of times you repeat it is going to increase the possibility of God hearing it. Don't be like the pagans. You just repeat things over and over and over. Your Father knows what you need. And we relate to Him like we would relate to another person we really love. And the way we communicate, a person we really respect and honor and communicate, God's not interested so much in the style of your English. Most of us have moved out from using King James language in our prayer. But when the King James Bible was the only real English Bible that was available to us, some of our prayer and our prophesying was fashioned to King James phraseology, and that was just because we were so familiar with the King James Version. So we have these things that are just styles that aren't necessarily good or evil, it's just the way we've developed. Some people will pray with a very elevated voice. I will do that sometimes if I'm feeling passionate about something, because the passion is elevating my voice. Or the sense of aggression in the spirit is elevating my voice. But I don't pray like that all the time. If I did in the bedroom where we're having communion, I'd blow Janet out the window or deafen her. You know, because it's all about the environment, it's all about what's going on. We'll get aggressive in prayer at times, but all I'm saying is, don't be too worried about the style. The issue is the heart, the issue is the attitude, the issue is the faith, the issue is the revelation. So prayer covers is a word we use that covers all of our spoken and heart communication with the Lord. In prayer, there's dimensions of worship. In prayer, there's dimensions of praise. Or in worship, there's also prayer. In praise, there's often also prayer. So it's all interconnected. So prayer, simply stated, is our heart or spoken communication with the Lord. Simply put. So if you came to me, just say if you came to me and to ask me something, I'm going to be a bit sarcastic now. Oh, Wesley, thou tallest, broad-shouldest one. Please bless me thou this day. I would know immediately that's not your normal way of talking. Paul has never come to me and said that sort of thing. hello, Pastor Wiz, or hello, Wiz. Can we talk about such and such and such? Yeah, totally, absolutely. And we talk normal language we can both understand. Because it's not some false thing. It's not formality. It's relationship. It's friendship. It's co-working. It's co-working in the gospel together. So one of the things I just want to say is this. Be real with your father. Be real with the Lord. If you can't handle the word father because of things that have happened in your life, just kind of be real with the Lord. Be real with him. You'd be surprised how real you can be with him. Do you know that nothing shocks him? There's nothing he hasn't seen. There's nothing he hasn't heard. There's nothing he doesn't understand. There's no difficulty in the human world and the demonic world that he has not seen. There's nothing that he has not seen people struggle with. That's why Jesus, our great high priest, came and experienced what it was to be a fully fledged man, as it were, and he experienced the human realm in an era or in a time that was incredibly difficult, under Roman oppression where they could kill a man or a woman just like that at a whim. Steal your land, steal your children, just treat you like dirt. And then a religious system that had become so oppressive through misunderstandings of the law, misunderstandings of the Torah, and traditions they added to it to somehow try and keep the people on track the way they understood it. All this incredible legalism created a heavy yoke in the religious spiritual realm. It was a time when there was a lot of human movement, human trafficking, a lot of slavery, a lot of divorce, a lot of family breakdown, a lot of oppression. It was a very difficult time that he stepped into. And it says he was tempted in every manner as we are, yet without sin. So he knows what it is to be tempted and experience life to the most nitty-gritty hardship deal. So there's nothing that he doesn't have grace for us to access. That's why you can tell him the reality of what's going on in your heart. You can tell him the reality of what's going on in your mind. You can tell him the reality of the pressures you're feeling, the temptations you're feeling, and you can call out to him and tell him about it and ask him for strength in any moment. He wants us to be real. If I find the more real I am, the more real I am with my heart and the Lord, it somehow seems to increase the sense of fellowship rather than something that I have to somehow stitch together to make it sound like it's going to be acceptable in heaven. How else do you pour out your heart if you can't pour out your heart? So prayer covers so many things. Prayer is our ability to sit down in a chair or sit down in the car and just talk to the Lord like he's sitting beside us, because he actually is. I've had several instances where I've been in crisis and been driving, and I've cried out to the Lord something, and he's answered me as though he's sitting right next to me. In reality, he actually is. And in a couple of situations, it was so audible within myself or in my ears, I can't quite explain it. It was such a direct answer to a direct question that out of the anguish of my heart, I had to pull over and stop the car because I wept because of what he answered. This is our Father. This is our Lord. This is our best friend. This is our ever-present help in time of need. You tell him your heart. You share your heart with him. I want to get on to the power of agreement. I've got to get there. So number one, prayer is just our ability with the Lord to share our ideas and our thoughts and the things that are going in our hearts and ask questions. Lord, what does this mean? What does that mean? And he'll speak and he'll bring us to the word, or he'll bring somebody into our life with the answer, whatever the case may be. It's that fellowship. It's that engagement on a fellowship level. Then there's the request. And in the Bible, sometimes you might be reading a Bible, it might use the word supplication. Well, what does that mean? Is that to do with dinner? What is it? Supplication is simply the request for help in a situation. Lord, I need your help in this. I don't know what to do about this. Lord, I need your help. Would you help me with this? That's supplication. Number three, asking or requesting in such a way that the person has no doubt that you're in urgent need of it now. Have you ever done that with anybody? Janet, I need your help now. Usually it's urgent. Something's going wrong. And I'm actually in peril. Janet, could you quickly come now? The word for that would be beseech. Have you ever come across that word beseech? Well, it means basically an urgent cry for help that the person you're asking has no doubt that you need it now. Don't do that all the time. Just don't do that all the time with your mate. I need the cup of tea now. I need breakfast now. Reminds me of the... Alicia, reminds me of when I was coming back, when we were coming back in the car from Ashley Gorge, and you were a little beautiful little darling. You still are beautiful down here this high. And I was in the front seat snoring, not driving. Janet was driving, or Kimberly maybe. Janet was driving, but I'd just gone to sleep in the car, and my head was all. And little Alicia, God bless you, stop it now in the back seat. Hope that doesn't embarrass you. It's just such a precious memory to me. But she carried it on for quite some time. It was so precious to me, Alicia. But I didn't hear, you see. Actually, I could hear this little voice in the background, but not enough to obey it. So then there's number four, is to ask on behalf of somebody else. Intervening in a situation. We call this often intercession. Jesus is interceding for us from the throne. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. So there's times of intercession. Many of us, you've experienced times where a friend or a loved one or some situation or whatever it is, and suddenly the Holy Spirit just burdens you with this weight that you can't throw off. You just, this care, this concern, this weightiness comes on you. Sometimes you can't put it into English, all that will come out is tongues. Sometimes you don't know quite what to pray. You don't know whether you're stringing the words together properly. You don't know quite, but all you know, you feel this burden, and it's just like you're before the Lord with it, and you're just carrying it. Might go on for an hour, might be half an hour, might be 2 days, 3 days, whatever. And then suddenly it lifts. And then later on, or sometime later, you find that you hear the report that the person was in a dire situation and that situation is now over and they've been spared. How many people have ever experienced that? Intercession. We're going to the Lord on behalf of somebody else. Can be for you, but it's often for somebody else. And then when you have the word of the Lord, you have the word of the Lord and you're decreeing it. That's in the realm of prayer, because you're speaking into the spirit realm, the word of the Lord. Then you have the whole warfare dimension where you're coming against demonic powers that are trying to interfere with the progress of the things of God or the mission or whatever it is, or the ministry, whatever it is, or something coming against your family or against a loved one, and you're going to warfare and you're addressing spirits, demons of this, spirits of that, and you're breaking the power of them, shutting them down, loosing the things of God, loosing peace, loosing healing, loosing this, loosing that. That's warfare. I tell you, I love engaging the adrenaline. The adrenaline rush that can happen sometimes. You can just see yourself and you know you're smacking something up in the spirit and shutting things down that are trying to torment people and cause them to go down a path of destruction, whether it's in a group or an individual. And then afterwards you find out the situation's completely changed and completely reversed, and you're going, oh, that was so good. That was all. That's a dimension of prayer. So prayer covers so many aspects of our life. Prayer is the most natural thing for a believer. It's totally natural for us to be people of prayer. The challenge has been just the strongholds of unbelief or misunderstandings or or judgments about prayer that because we heard somebody else speak about it in a negative way and somehow that got a hold of us and we've got these concepts and it's just kind of shut us down. Or there's not the revelation understanding of who you are to the Lord. And the fact that you do have this amazing access before the throne and you're welcome there, you're dearly loved, you're the righteousness of God in Christ, you're sanctified, you're holy to Him, and you're totally welcome, and He just totally enjoys you connecting with Him, communicating with Him, and sharing with Him, and praying with Him. It's our natural realm. But for some of us who have been raised in Western unbelieving kind of doctrines or ideas, there's blockages there that we just need to recognize, renounce, break our agreement with, and tell them to shove off because of the strongholds that have been relating to this. But as new creation sons and daughters, we have this amazing privilege. Jesus said some outlandish things, you know, in our kind of regular way of thinking. He said some amazing things. Matthew 21, 22 to 23. Matthew 21, 21 to 22. New King James Version. So Jesus said to them, to His disciples, surely, assuredly, which is, I'm telling the truth, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, and the context of that is when he saw the fig tree, he went to get fruit off it, he said, fruit will not grow on you again, the thing just lost all its purpose and just died. No reason to exist anymore, just died. Withered from the root up. And then they come back the next day, some say a few hours later, some say the next day, and this whole thing's dried up. The disciples go, whoa, that was the fig tree you cursed. And then Jesus uses it as an example and teaching in the realm of prayer. Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast it into the sea, and it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. This is an amazing statement. People have debated this, dissected it, watered it down to where it loses its meaning, so it fits our unbelief. But nevertheless, Jesus stated it. So this is not something to pull down to our experience. This is something to believe and press into. This is an elevator to take us to higher levels. This is not something we pull down to our level. The more we pull the statements of Jesus about these sort of things down to our level, the more we will stay at our level. But the more we allow the Word of God and the revelation in the Word of God, taken along with other passages as well, to lift us into a higher level of expectation and faith and trust and maturity, these passages will be our elevator in prayer, nothing else. Do you get that? Mark 11, 22 to 24. Very famous passage for anybody who was connected to or immersed in or impacted by any of the Word of Faith teaching. And Papa Hagen, his notebook, The Name of Jesus, is some of it is centered around the statement, and some people hate it and some people love it. I love it. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, in other words, I'm telling you the truth, more than that really, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Some people have said, oh, that's that name it and claim it stuff. No, it's Mark 11, 20, 21 to 24. Mark 11. Mark 11. Mark 11. And thank you for the choir over in this section. It's Mark 11. People have once again dismantled this passage and lowered it down to the unbelief. But this is another passage that challenges, what are we believing? And are we praying to be praying? Or are we praying from the heart and from the faith and from the place of what we need and what we know to be the will of God as expressed in the life of Jesus? And as agents of the kingdom of on earth, aligning ourselves with heaven. One of the reasons I've had a love-hate relationship with corporate prayer meetings, because some of them I've gone into and I've found there's just a lot of unbelief being prayed, and I just don't like it. What am I doing here? I'm not here to be part of a prayer meeting. I'm here to pray. I want to be praying in faith. I want to be praying in expectation. I want to be praying in light of covenant reality. I'm not here to whinge. I'm here to pray. I'm here to get an agreement with heaven. I'm not here to, listen to somebody talk the whole time and then 1 minute of prayer at the end. For goodness sake, I'd rather have watched Coronation Street and get really depressed. I haven't watched Coronation Street for years. What I'm saying is this. Let's get aligned with the Word of God and what Jesus said about prayer. What Jesus said about prayer gives us all sorts of possibilities in the spirit realm if we would rise to what He says rather than pull it down to our level of encounter or experience. Then we've got somewhere to go in prayer. Sometimes it is needful to talk in a prayer meeting and just bring some guidance and bring some insight and some revelation, but not the kind of situation where it's all talk and 1 minute of prayer at the end. And there's been an hour and a half of talk, or an hour of talk. I've been to some so-called prayer breakfasts and that sort of thing, and I'm thinking all they've done is pulled it down to the lowest common religious denominator. Quite frankly, I'm not interested. But what I am interested in, really interested in, is when people who have got some faith in their spirit, some urgency in their spirit, some understanding of who they are in Christ in the spirit, understanding of the covenant dimensions that we're now in, coming together, worshiping the Lord, hearing what the Holy Spirit is, and praying out a place of faith. That's what I'm interested in. Yes, we need to bring our needs. Yes, we need to bring the sick and the demonized, and we see them ministered to, and absolutely. But we're coming together to pray, and the fact that we're covenant people who are called to pray and humble ourselves and look to the Lord for our source, and then take the word that He releases to us and pray it and declare it and decree it. Bring the issues before the Lord, and it may take a minute or two for them to be answered. It may be that there's consistent prayer for a season of time before something shifts, or it may be a shift that happens so fast we think, oh my goodness, we should have done this 10 years ago. But there's usually seasons, and there's timings. And I believe now is one of those timings. I don't know if you know, but Celebration Center or Celebration Church, been meeting now for 40-something nights continuously. That a week of meetings, is that right, Anne? That a week of meetings leading up to Pentecost, and spoken one of them, Janet and I went along, had a lovely connecting time with Murray and Nancy and Corey and so on, and then engaged in their meeting, and Pastor Anne spoke, and it was just wonderful to be there. Unbeknown to me, they just felt that after that week of meetings, they should just continue them. So they've had many people turning out night after night after night. Been going out, what is it? Is it 40? 38 today, sorry. Somebody said 38 a couple of days. 38 nights in a row. Because they're hungry. And they believe it's time to pray and to worship and seek God and just be on their faces before God. And there's hundreds of people gathering a night. So I tell you what, God's doing something. And we want to respond. If somebody says to me, Wes, you didn't give us enough notice. No, I didn't. It's not the issue. It's what notice the Holy Ghost gives us. That's the issue. Who are we following? Who are we being led by? A committee or the Holy Ghost? A number of us, including Sally and Wayne, various other oversight team, yes, we have an urgency. We've got to lift the prayer. So we're going to be away in Adelaide. Borders open, you know, hopefully the border, and in several weeks' time with our son and daughter along with a new baby. And so we don't want it to wait till after then. So we've got to move now. So hence the now. Okay? Very good. Yeah, very good, Wes. Thank you. God bless you. I thought that was a really good point. Yep, thank you. So John, I feel like I've been pushing against some things. Just, you know, smacking a few things up. And I'm not against anybody or smacking anybody up individually. I'm just saying these are the things that come around prayer. Because prayer is so powerful. Prayer is so much our inheritance and so much our right and our responsibility that the enemy tries to mess with it, because if he can shut the church down from praying, he's got a weak church. And I'm telling you now, guys, young girls, you're in the Lord today. God's moved on your life today in this last while, because a generation or two before you and generations before you stood in prayer. They labored in prayer. They believed in prayer. They met together in prayer. They're on their knees in prayer. All sorts of dimensions of prayer. And as a result of that, the torch of the gospel has continued to burn in our nation. So it's time for the next generation and generation under to be taught how to pray, to lift and pray, but also to learn their own dimensions, own journey in prayer. Because the reality is now there's more light available than when I was 18. There's more revelation, there's more understanding. I remember as a young guy in the church in Cromwell, I was only in the church for a short time, but I heard they had a prayer meeting. I'd never been in a prayer meeting in my life in terms of one that was going to be like this. And I heard there's a prayer meeting on Tuesday night. And it was about four or five people gathered. I thought, I'm going to go to that prayer meeting. And as a young believer, not knowing too much about prayer and not knowing too much how to pray, except a few simple things, I went along and I gathered with these believers that were 10, 15 years older than me, most of them maybe 20 years, maybe some of them 30 years older than me. And I heard what came out of their spirit. I heard what came out of their heart. I heard the way they prayed, the way they approached God. I heard what they had to say. I heard how they flowed together, how one would pray into this and then the other would add to it and add to it. And then when that seemed to finish, then the Holy Ghost would highlight something else and we'd follow that until the Spirit lifted off that thing. Wasn't just praying all over the world at any given time, here in Afghanistan, here in Mozambique, and here in Parliament, and here in Uncle Tom's ingrown toenail, and not all over the place like that. That's just confusion, but following the Holy Ghost. And then times of worship in amongst it. And as a 22-year-old, 23-year-old, whatever, I remember committing to that, and for several years I was part of that. And it was a good part of my early journey and understanding at least some things in prayer. Did we see everything we prayed come to pass? Not in that moment. But I don't know where Cromwell and that region would be now if we hadn't prayed. Finishing on this, John chapter 16. Sorry, final passage, Matthew 18, 19 to 20. This is in a group of passages where Jesus speaks various truths. One is how to deal with somebody who's deliberately gone into sin, and then the track you try and work to try and have that brother or sister restored back into faith and back into the fellowship, and what happens if they won't respond. Then he goes into some other things, and then he comes to this passage in verse 19 of chapter 18. He says, again, I say to you that if two or three agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. This is teaching relating to prayer. This is one of the anchor passages where we get the understanding of the power of agreement. This is a direct statement Jesus made. Again, I say to you that if any two of you agree, come into agreement. Harmonize, the Amplified says. On earth, symphonize is another word that the Amplified, I think, uses. On earth, concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. That's an incredible statement. That's a powerful statement. That's not talking about house church and the justification for little groups who just want to stay away from what people call organized church. It hasn't actually got much to do with that, really. What it is, it's about saints who gather together with a sense of revelation, purpose, and agreement in their heart, and they're praying in the name of the Lord because they have understanding of covenant, they have understanding of the will of God, and they're praying together, harmonizing, agreeing together, and he says, there am I in the midst of them. And when people do that in prayer, that's why there's also going to be a strategy of small groups, of twos and threes gathering together in prayer, and Margaret's going to speak into that in the near future. There's going to be just that strategy being organized as well, because we believe in the power of two or three people gathering at any place at any time and praying together, focusing in on specific issues. When people agree together. That's why Janet and I were experiencing this lift in the power of our agreement, with the repercussions of that agreement when we have communion together and pray into specific things. And also, just as we feel led, we're seeing remarkable turnaround. We'll be able to tell you some of those in the not too distant future. We just need to get permission on a few situations to be able to tell you. One of them is such a transformation. It's totally miraculous. And so we've been called and invited into this amazing partnership with the Lord, but also amazing partnership with each other, where heaven can be unleashed on earth through the power of our agreement together in his name. How much more when 50, 80, 100, 150, 200 people, whatever the number would be, meet on nights of the week in this week of prayer, when we come together, we worship together, we're in the Spirit together, we agree together, we declare together, we decree together, how much more will we see things change? Will we see things of the kingdom of God unleashed? Not only that, but also enter into a greater sense of intimacy with them and corporate presence with them. Be together as family in him. So this is part of the biblical mandate for us to meet and pray corporately together. Amen? So, could we all stand this morning? You see, the demonic realm understands unity as well. That's why when the people left the ark and began to increase the numbers of people began to increase, and the numbers of people began to increase in such a way where God told them to spread across the earth. Instead of spreading across the earth, they disobeyed God and they stayed in one clump with one language. And they decided, let's build a city, make a name for ourselves. Let's build a town to reach into the heavens, make a name for ourselves. There was a whole demonic inspiration behind this. And God said, and God came down and he saw the unity of the people, that anything they imagined, given their unity, they could have done. But it wasn't aligned with heaven. It was in a disobedience to heaven. And so to disempower that potential for the manifestation of such evil on the earth, he confused their languages amongst the families. That is the origins of our diversity of languages. It's not a myth, it's a reality. And so what do we have now? We have an agenda on earth that is trying to somehow unify the languages of people to try and get them into one agenda, and that one agenda is not aligned to the agenda of heaven. So the demonic realm understands unity. We need to understand and appreciate unity more than the demonic realm, because we are sons and daughters of light. If darkness can do something like that when people are in unity, how much more the kingdom of heaven when people are in unity? How much more the sons and daughters of light that are not living in darkness but are people of the day? How much more can we see heaven come to earth and invade people's lives, transform situations, heal people, deliver people, see people awakened, turning to Christ because of the unity of the family of God? So Father, we want to thank you today that as we stand here, we stand, Lord, in the light of incredible revelation. And Father, as it is translated in the Passion Translation, if two of you agree to ask God for something in symphony of prayer, my Heavenly Father will do it for you. For wherever two or three come together in honor of my name, I am right there with them. When we come together in honor of his name, we come together in his name, we come together and we're praying with the Holy Spirit. We're praying with the Lord, not necessarily just to him. So Father, this morning, we just want to thank you for your presence here right with us. Lord, whether it's in ones and twos, whether it's in corporate gatherings, whether it's husbands and wives, whether it's just people who are friends, whatever the case may be, we thank you for the rise in prayer. We thank you for the rise in conviction of our incredible privilege, our amazing privilege. Lord, I pray that the spirit of intercession and supplication, Lord, would begin to fall on us in ever-increasing measures. Lord, that we'd no longer be, in any degree, consumers, but we would definitely grow and mature into full participators in the kingdom of heaven, in this great mission to bring the ministry of reconciliation to all of creation. Father, today, we pray, Lord, that our hearts would rise in expectation and an excitement and the possibilities, that we would not have the sense that we are powerless and without resource, living in a realm of unbelief, but our spirits and hearts would arise to the truth that, Lord, we are yours and you are ours. Lord, we're your joint heirs, and we partner together to seek you, to pray with you, to pray to you, to pray with you, to receive your instruction, to receive your word and release it into the earth. Lord, we humble ourselves in knowledge of our total dependence in you. You are our source, and we are your family. We are your army. We thank you in Jesus' name. Maybe today you're here, you've never received Jesus into your life. You've never opened your heart to him and asked him to forgive you of your sin and turn your life over to him. It's gonna require repentance. It's gonna be things he'll show you that you need to turn away from. But those are the things that want to kill you, destroy you. So it's a gift that he would do that for you. But the most important thing of all is that your mind and your heart receives some sort of revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for you, and he wants you to know your Heavenly Father and be restored to your Creator. If that's you today, you've never opened your heart to him. I did this when I was 19. prayed and received Jesus into my life and asked Him to forgive me of my sin, I want to tell you that the reality of Jesus that came into my life was absolutely profound. It began a whole new course for my life. I had ups and downs. I tripped over and fell over and had to get up again a number of times, plenty of times. But here's the deal. God never abandoned me because I was His son from then on. He empowered me, taught me, connected me with wonderful people, taught me lessons, had to redirect my heart a number of times. So if that's you, I'm going to ask you to do something really brave, but nowhere near as brave as what Jesus has done for you. I'm going to ask you to make your way down just to stand with me, not facing the people, but just facing me. And we're going to pray together, and I'm going to introduce Jesus to you and you to Jesus. You want to do that? Now's your time to do that. Anybody in this section here? Ask the people next to you, if I'll come with you if you want to come. Just ask the people, I'll come with you if you want to come. And come on down. We want to pray with you. This will be the greatest day of your life. This will be the beginning of a whole journey. Anybody in this section? Anybody in this section? Anybody who needs to just ask the person next to you, if that's you, I'll come with you. Just come on down. Just come on down. I don't want to close this meeting without that opportunity for you to receive Christ. That's you. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. It's just, God bless you. What's your name? Sorry. You want to seal this today? You want to receive Christ today? Isn't that awesome? That's wonderful. It really is. Anybody else? Anybody else today? Anybody in this section? This section? This section here? Time for you. Could you get it? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, right now. Hallelujah. This is Narissa. And Narissa's responding to the Lord today. Isn't that wonderful? How about you give her a God bless today for her courage and openness to the Lord? It's just such a wonderful thing. So we're all going to pray with you, Narissa. I'll get you to pray with me, and these people all join in as well, okay? It could be somebody out here that just wasn't quite brave enough. That really might really mean something for them. But these people all love you and all part of an extended family of God. And they've all got their own story, their own journey. And some of it is unbelievable, just so dramatic. And some it's just been they've grown up in the Lord all their lives. Isn't that wonderful? So now it's your turn. Open your heart to the Lord. Amen. Stretch out your hand to Narissa here today. Most important thing, Narissa, is whatever I just lead you in some prayer, that you just mean it the best you can in your heart. You've already had some things going on in your heart anyway, haven't you? Yeah. Just take my hand if that's okay. Just stretch out your hands right now. Everybody, pray with me. Pray with me. Father, today I come to you knowing that I need you. I've sinned and I need to be forgiven. And Lord, I believe that Jesus is your Son, that He came to earth to show me what God is really like. But even more than that, to die in place of me. So all the judgment I deserved, Jesus took, so I could be forgiven and made right with you, Lord. So forgive me today as I begin this journey. And Jesus, come into my life and fill me. I'm now yours. And you're mine. I believe that you died on a cross, that you were crucified, but that you were raised from the dead, and you're seated in heaven. And I believe that I'm now forgiven. I'm now your daughter. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You meant that? You meant that? You okay? Father, right now, I just thank you for Narissa. I just thank you for this very significant step she's taken today. And Lord, right now, I declare on the basis of her faith and her reception of her receiving you and being forgiven by you, Lord, she's now your daughter. And Lord, you've placed her in a family that love her, that want the best for her, and will help her. I thank you, Lord, for filling her with your Spirit. Lord, your Spirit and her Spirit are now one. Strengthen her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. These beautiful people will just share with you a little bit more and pray a little bit more and maybe get your details so we can be in touch. God bless you. Let's give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Let's bless him. Father, we just want to thank you today. We want to thank you for your goodness, for your great mercy to us in Jesus' name. Tonight we have prophet, and it's for all people, because everybody in the body of Christ has the ability to hear God. It's just a lot of the time we didn't know who was communicating with us. We just thought it was us. We just thought it was something else. But in actual fact, God's been trying to speak to you for so long. So tonight is going to help you, in some respects, along with other things, recognize how God's been speaking to you, so that you can be a blessing to people here, there, and everywhere because of the goodness of God. Amen? So come tonight, 7:30 or 7? 7 p.m. Everybody say 7 p.m. That's the time you come here tonight. God bless you. Have an awesome life.